Whoa, this is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Every 4 years, millions of viewers around the world rapidly track sports they barely watch otherwise. The Summer Olympics temporarily put swimming, gymnastics, and equestrian events in the headlines. The games are anything but a quadrennial concern for the elite athletes who compete at the Olympic level. They're the reward for working the hardest, being the best, and having the latest high-tech gadgetry in your corner, at least. That's the hope. With us to run down some of the seemingly futuristic advances that could influence the medal count at the Summer Games in London is Word of Mouth producer Taylor Quimby, who keeps an eye peeled on the quirkier trends bubbling up under the pop culture surface. Hi, Taylor.
Great to be back on this side of the glass, Virginia.
Well, it's good to have you. Now, if we're talking about technology and Olympic Games, everybody must still have imprinted in their mind the fabulous spectacle of the Beijing Summer Games. London, is it planning to outdo this kind of multimedia, high-tech spectacle?
Right, I know what you mean. I mean, it was a gorgeous, gorgeous event. The opening ceremonies, everybody remembers them. I don't think London's necessarily going to try and outdo Beijing. I guess the message to take away is that, you know, there will always be this sort of high-tech feel around the Olympics. You know, every nation, every host nation feels like it has something to prove. 4 years ago, you know, China, this up-and-coming economic power, everybody was talking about how they had something to prove with these Olympic Games. So, with London, it's not exactly the same. But if you look at their stadium, for example, you know, there's almost this message of high-tech sustainability. You know, it seats 80,000, but many of those seats are removable, the idea being that they'll be able to use that stadium in the future. I think the irony about the high-tech feel of the Olympics is that it's all in the periphery. It has to do with training, facilities, security, the exception being on some equipment, you know, say new materials for swimsuits. But I think when you get into the games, very few people are actually paying attention to, you know, some high-tech microfiber swimsuit. They're watching Michael Phelps try and win the gold.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into some of these peripheral things, like the training of the athletes, discussing technology and athletes. A lot of people might think, okay, cheating. Doping methods used by athletes increasingly are stealthy, very hard to track. So what's the Olympic Committee doing in London to address high-tech cheating this time?
Well, I can't really speak to, the new high-tech dope coming out there because I don't swim in those circles, let's put it that way. But I do know that there's this $30 million state-of-the-art laboratory, and it's the first specifically built for the Olympics to try and get doping out of the arena. And it was donated by pharmaceutical giant, GlaxoSmithKline. The idea is that it's going to be faster, more sensitive. The most impressive and I think the grossest statistic coming out of all the PR was that they'll be processing more than 6,000 bottles of urine and blood on a daily basis.
Ew.
Yeah, it's very gross. David Howman, who's director general of the World Anti-Doping Agency, he pointed to Canadian sprinter Ben Johnson. He says that disgraced and demedaled athlete from the 80s, he wouldn't even make it to London nowadays. He says as many as 90 athletes were weeded out during pretesting before Beijing, and he expects to see at least the same amount this year.
All right, how about some of the technology being used to train athletes? Now, you uncovered a pretty interesting story about a runner from Britain named Mo Farah.
Yeah, that's his name. And he was born in Somalia, grew up in Djibouti, then moved to England at age 8. Now he's relocated to Portland, Oregon with trainer Alberto Salazar, and he's running on an underwater treadmill, and he's also doing this thing, the cryogenic chamber, and that's designed to avoid injury. It's set at like negative 220 degrees Fahrenheit. The idea is that the blood moves from the extremities to the core, which dampens the nervous system and, I guess, reduces the possibility of spasm and injury.
Okay, so the cryogenic chamber is one of the things that can be used. Also, you also found out about another training tool, something that sounds pretty strange. It's a high-tech training suit for gymnasts.
Right. It's this vibrating suit called the Motive Pro, developed by a man named Gregory Sporton and his colleagues. He's professor of digital creativity at Birmingham University in the UK. And they tested it with one of the UK's ranking gymnasts. She said she loved it. I mean, it's hard to know. It looks very odd. If you remember back to like Lord of the Rings, the idea is it was like those motion capture suits, except this feeds back to the person wearing it.
You spoke with Gregory Sporton, and he explained the reasoning and motive behind the Motive Pro suit.
The fastest way to get people to change how they're moving is through touch. So more or less what happens if their joints go outside a range of movement, the vibrations will begin, and most people then correct their posture or correct their movement so that that buzzing or vibration stops. We've also run it quite successfully with sound feedback so that you get a different type of sound depending on where your arm is or leg or what have you, and also with visuals. It's really about trying to use the data that's generated by movement as a means of guiding the mover to change or improve their movement.
So that's a training technique, but you also found an example of a high-tech solution to what every athlete must have nightmares about, the what they're called the yips.
That's right, right. It's also called focal dystonia, sudden loss of specific fine motor skills. Some people point to Tiger Woods. They say since a lot of the scandals, he's kind of lost it, is I guess how it goes. And yeah, there's this guy, his name is Steve Hooker, and he was the gold medalist for pole vaulting in Beijing. He had some injuries. He sort of lost it, quote unquote. And since then, Red Bull built him this high-tech indoor facility designed to just let him train and train and train, and then you know, see everything he's doing in slow motion with these, you know, multiple cameras, multiple angles, multiple ramps that he gets to jump on. It's very high-tech.
Wow, Red Bull. So this is the energy drinker thing, you know, the just give him wings.
Oh yeah, the PR clips. As you can imagine, he's casually sipping on one.
Here's a clip of pole vaulter Steve Hooker showing off the training facility built for him by Red Bull.
We've got multi-view feedback system. It can process 4 high-definition feeds live, and then we can replay and scroll through jumps. It's a massive advantage because you can stay in the rhythm of your session, analyse the jump, go back to your mark, do another jump, and to be able to stay in that rhythm, you can really generate some great consistency.
Taylor, are people saying all this high-tech stuff is going to give Olympic athletes an advantage in going for the gold?
Well, I sort of wondered the same thing, and that led me to ask Gregory Sporton whether equipment like the Motive Pro Vibra tactile suit we were talking about earlier, whether that kind of technology gives wealthier nations and teams a special advantage, and he told me something. I thought it was pretty interesting. Let's hear it.
Our technology, in the end, is really comparatively simple and isn't particularly expensive. You might as well ask whether Kenyan runners get a genetic advantage from having been brought up in the Rift Valley and whether that should be illegal. And I think there's no end to that particular argument.
I guess that is to be proven in the games.
Right. I don't think anybody's kicking the Kenyans out, by the way, anytime soon.
Well, Taylor Quimby, I want to thank you for your wrap here. Anything, prediction, you going to be watching the Olympics online all the time?
Oh, high-tech broadcasting. I'll be live streaming them all.
All the time. In real time, I guess, is what's
yeah.
happening
mm-hmm.
this time. We're not going to have to wait for NBC or CBS or ABC to bring
exactly.
us the Olympics. Taylor Quimby, thanks so much for bringing us a roundup.
Thank you.
It's going to be interesting to see how these gadgets actually, if they change things this summer. Taylor Quimby is Word of Mouth producer and director and a pretty regular and mildly irregular curator of the quirkier trends flying below most of our collective radar. So you can find links to all of the high-tech Olympic gadgetry that we talked about, including a video tour of pole vaulter Steve Hooker's high-tech training facility. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org.